I'm going to talk today about the heresy of Jehovah's Witness. Just before we start, I just want to talk about a few things. Just why we study other religions. I don't know if you guys had any comparative theology lectures at all.
We just started last week.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure this is the same slide you guys seen already. But it's we must study other religions to be able to explain our faith. It's in Peter, 1 Peter 3:15. It said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." We also must be able to defend the falseness of other things. If you see something wrong, you have to say something about it. So, and that's actually in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We also must be able to distinguish the truth ourselves. So now we know the right from wrong, why is it wrong, and why our faith is correct. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. So we are instructed to actually question, test why something is wrong and why something is right. And we must spread the truth. It is a commandment that was given to us. In Titus, it says, "Holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who are contradicted." So, a little bit of just background about Jehovah's. They were founded in the 1870s in Pennsylvania, so kind of local. They are officially known as Jehovah's Witness, but they were previously known as the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. So they started as a sort of a Bible study group that evolved into what's known today as Jehovah's Witnesses. They started becoming known as Jehovah's in 1930, and we'll go in detail to what happened and the background behind that. The headquarters today is actually in Brooklyn, New York. This is actually a picture of it. I'm not sure if you can see it, but they're mainly known for the people who come to your door and knock and pretend they're not there. They need to go away. But they are known for door-to-door evangelism. They put a lot of hours, a lot of dedication going from door to door just to evangelize the word. So that's something to admire. But they are not considered Christian. Okay. So we'll take it from the beginning. They were founded actually by Charles Russell. He was born actually in 1854 in Pennsylvania. He was influenced in his youth by Arianism. Did you guys do the ecumenical councils?
Yeah.
So you know what the whole... Okay, that will help. So there was just to summarize it, for the heresy of Arius, there was once a time when the Son was not. He believed that the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, was actually created, a created being, and he was less than the Father. Hopefully I said that right. He was influenced by the Seventh-day Adventist teaching, and you can see it clearly in some of the stuff that they believe in. But it's mainly Arianism that you see that's very pervasive. At the age of 17, got a couple of interesting facts about him. When he was 17, he tried to convert somebody who was an atheist to Christianity, and he himself ended up being an agnostic. So, in 1872, he published his own doctrine in the U.S. So this is when it really began to kick in. And 1879, he started the Watchtower magazine, which we'll talk about. It's a monthly magazine that they the explain, you talk, you give articles out, and it's more of a Bible study magazine. Give exercises, and through it, they could change doctrine, and they did change doctrine many times. Interestingly, he was sued by his wife for marital betrayal, and he scandaled some farmers and sold them miracle wheat that was supposed to cure cancer. So, just I think it helps that to know the flaws of the character before, and where he's coming from, just to have a better understanding. In one of his books, he calls Arius, which is a heretic by our church and many other churches, that he is the sixth angel in the book of Revelation, and he himself was the seventh angel. So he started crossing into very dangerous territory there. 1914, he made a firm promise that the second coming is going to happen. Then that was the year. And 1916, he died, and he was succeeded by Joseph Rutherford. Rutherford was a judge, actually, and he was known he was very charismatic as well. Russell was a very charismatic personality as well, and he took the organization to the next level. They are actually they're more of a cult, not an actual religion. So after the false prediction that Russell made about the second coming, Rutherford came and said 1925 as the next year where the second coming is going to happen. After it did not come to pass, various schisms started to happen in the organization. And that's when the organization became known as Jehovah's Witness. The people that remained with Rutherford were the Jehovah's Witness as of today. The rest kind of dwindled out and died away. He was faced with a conundrum because he didn't have that many members during that time. So he started making the doctrine that he used scare tactics to recruit people. And one of them that he said that only 144,000, and it's based on a verse that was misinterpreted in the book of Revelation, that only 144,000 would go to heaven. And that scare tactic worked very well. Before he knew it, he was running into another conundrum because at 1930, membership was getting close to that 144,000. So what he's going to tell the other people that want to get in? So he instituted what's called the little flock and the great crowd. The little flock is the people who are the true witnesses to Jehovah, and those are the 144,000. The great crowd, on the other hand, are all other believers that will believe in, that bear witness to Jehovah, but they will not get into heaven, and they will live on earth for 1,000,000 years under the rule of Christ. So there is no heaven for them, they will just live on earth for 1,000 years. And in 1942, he died, and he was succeeded by Nathan Knorr. Knorr, on the other hand, was not a very charismatic or dominating personality as Russell or Rutherford. He declared himself a prophet and predicted the true date of Armageddon in 1975. Not sure if you guys see it, but there is a trend of always predicting the date of Armageddon for them. And yes,
what's Armageddon?
The second coming, and it's the beginning of the second coming. So he said the date of 1975, and again, didn't happen. He introduced he revolutionized the organization in a way, because he started the Theocratic Ministry School and Missionary School. So it's something to admire about them. They actually have to go through a theology class that meets a couple times a week, and they train them vigorously to be very persistent, very knowledgeable of the subjects they talk about, and they train them well. Despite many unfulfilled predictions for the end of times, over 200 changes in the doctrine. Today, there is over 7.5 million followers worldwide. Okay. So the little bit more about them, the origin of the name was actually driven from two verses. Jehovah is actually one of the names of God in from the Old Testament, and it goes to the verse, I am who I am. Somebody care to read it? Anybody?
Go ahead. I am who I am, and he said, oh, and God says to Moses, I am who I am, and he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you, as the three verses.
Yeah, so when Moses the prophet asked his name, he answered, responded, I am who I am. In the actual Hebrew, it says, Ahya, Ashar, Ahya, which was driven then from Yahweh, and Yahweh was just translated as Jehovah. So that's where Jehovah came from. And the witness part, they actually took it out of the Isaiah. Somebody else with their treat?
Yeah. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me.
So that's where they got their name from. Their holy books, per se, they use a translated version of the Bible that's their own translation, and it have many modification, and we'll see in a little bit what they do. They omit verses, they change words just to suit their doctrine. So, and they will not agree to use any other version of any other book. They have to use their version when they talk to you. The Watchtower magazine, which is a monthly magazine, it's actually in over 200 languages today. So they are very spread worldwide. And it's used to spread the teaching and talk about the history of the religion, the Bible. It actually gives them guides and polls to talk about for Bible study. And then some other books that they issue that had doctrine in it is Let God Be True, This Is the Eternal Life, and Thought from the Holy Scriptures. And actually, in some of these books, they deny, which we'll get into later, what they deny, but they deny the divinity of both the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay. I just wanted to show you guys a little bit of what they do for their own version of the Bible here. And it had they omit many verses that complete just to suit their need, and they just change a few words to see in order for it to fit. So I put, like, the first line is the New King James Version, the second verse is from their own version. So if somebody can read anything. Thank you.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay. So you want to read that there?
In the beginning was the Word, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was at God.
Notice he added the L, and that changes the whole meaning. And if you go, and it will make sense why they do that in a few minutes, but I just want to keep going. Somebody, what, care to read the second one?
In the beginning was the Word. And the
no, sorry. The second verse, already read them.
And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Okay. When I read their version.
Yeah, sorry. And he said to him, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise.
I don't know if you guys notice this.
I don't get that.
Notice where the comma is placed. If you know, just reread that sentence where the comma is placed. The New King James Version say, I say to you today, meaning as in today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. But for them, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Notice what they change. It changes the whole meaning of it. There is many other discrepancies. I can go through pages of them, but...
Wait, was this with the thief?
What is it?
Like, what was this about the thief?
Yeah, this was in the the crucifixion, when the right hand seat, he asked him, when the Lord told him, today you will be with me in paradise. Because the... technically, they don't have churches per se. They have what they call kingdom halls, and basically they meet two times a week. The meeting is open and closed with a song and prayer, and typically they just include topics about Bible reading and study, family life, prophecies, and typically they use the Watchtower magazine as a guideline, which give them what they should be talking about, what they should be studying, questions and answers, so it kind of engages the congregation a little bit. They only observe two sacraments, but with the asterisk per se. They observe baptism and the Holy Eucharist, but they are only symbolic acts, not by any means grace or anything like that. And actually, they don't have any priesthood, so technically they're sacraments. So you can't perform a sacrament without the priest, so it nullifies the whole thing. They have what they call elders, which are typically people who are considered in the little flock in the 144,000, and they are typically directing the meeting, directing the organization, and telling them what to do. Okay, so we'll go to some basics, and then we'll get into some. I picked two of just their major heresies that they have, and I want to just talk to you about a little bit. So, before we start going into this, they are not Christian. It may appear to be. Some people may believe them that they are Christian. They come to your door, they tell you, well, we're just reading from the Bible. They are not. They are a mix of many heresies, and they are closer to other religions than Christianity. They sanctify the Sabbath, share the belief of the Sadducees. You guys, can somebody tell us who the Sadducees are? The Sadducees? Okay. The Sadducees were actually a sect of Judaism that they don't believe in the resurrection. And we always hear about them in the Gospel that they were always against the Pharisees because the Pharisees believe in the resurrection of the dead. So they always against each other. But they are closer to the Sadducees in their belief of the resurrection of the dead. And they do deny the divinity and the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They actually do not believe in the Holy Trinity, and that's one main reason why they are not Christian. They do not believe the spirit is eternal, so once you die, you're it, that's it, you're done. The bad people are annihilated and they're done. And as we mentioned, they use a modified version of the Holy Scriptures, which is the New World Translation, in which they omit and modify many things, as we see. Yes?
Like, for them, like, if somebody dies, like, there's no more anything?
Nope.
Eternal life is like, it's like, again, like, you're good on earth, so you deserve eternal life. If not, then you just disappear.
And notice there's no, their concept of it is only the
only
little.
Bad people.
Bad people will be annihilated. They believe in annihilation, so they'll be annihilated right away. The good people, depending on where you fall, if you're one of the little flock, the 144,000, you will go to paradise. But anybody else will live on this, will come back, live on this earth for 1,000 years under the rule of Christ, and then that's it, you're done. So it's very limited. Yes.
Since there's 144,000 people that can make it, why are they still trying to like spread the word and then like decrease their chances? They'll have more competition, so if they just keep doing it themselves, they have a better chance of going to heaven. Like, it doesn't really make sense in my head.
Again, they strive to. There's the great crowd that's going to live in a millennial rule under the Lord. That's what they believe in. But that's what they're, you know, even if I can't make it to the 144,000, at least I'll be one of the people who will live under the rule for 1,000 years. It's better than just annihilated right away. I mean, the cult was based on a very, very scare tactic. They scare you into believing. Like, you are going to, you know, if you're bad, you're done. And there is no hope for you. No salvation. You're done. Yes.
The 144,000 is
yes.
from the book of Revelation, right?
Yes.
But in the book of Revelation, it says that the 12, like there will be 144,000 from every tribe of the 12 tribes.
It's they didn't interpret it correctly by any means, but the 144,000 is their interpretation of it, that only those people will be the little flock, the chosen elect few that will go.
So and the rest of the northern tribes?
No, it's not. It's not. It's a misinterpretation. I'm dumb.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
What makes them a cult and not a religion?
They're. Good question. Their belief is not.
There's no easy and easy.
There's. It's based on judgment, and I chose the word cult, but but again, they are their practices are not what you consider mainstream Christianity. So typically, like we can't call the Protestant a cult, per se. They are brothers because they believe in the Trinity. They don't, but they associate themselves with Christianity. But on the other hand, we shouldn't associate them with us. That's the way I see it.
Last week too, I remember this question came up. They said that there's no easy in, easy out, and if you use like scare tactics to try to scare people, it's more like a cult than like an organized religion.
Yeah, if usually in a cult you feel like you're locked in. It's very easy to get you in, but very hard to get out. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Their view on God. They reject the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, as we mentioned. And Christ did not rise in the flesh. He rose in spirit only and ascended into heaven. And Christ is Archangel Michael. These are their views, and we'll go in detail a little bit. Okay. So the way I did this is I'm gonna talk about what they believe in first, and then we'll talk about how we can refute it. They claim that the doctrine of the Trinity was driven from pagan religions, and it is actually derived from Satan. The only proper name for God for them is Jehovah, although actually, which is interesting, Jesus never calls him Jehovah. Jehovah's Witnesses reject the doctrine of the Trinity as a false doctrine. They claim that there is nowhere mentioned in the Bible that makes God into three gods. And that's why they said it's a pagan origin. They believe that Jesus was a mighty God, but he was not God. And that's why they added they changed the verse to add the a God instead of God. While the Jehovah's Witness understanding of Jesus' existence is just a rehashing of the Arian heresy that we talked about, they believe that Jesus was a created being as well, and that's why they are similar to Arius. And they believe that Jesus was not eternal, but he existed as God, the Son. Or being equal with God, was the eternal Father, but that he was created, spirit being, so he was created after the creation, which sounds very similar to the heresy of Arius when he said the Son, there was a time when the Son was not. And this is where it gets a little bit complicated. They actually believe Jesus existed in three separate states. And first is before becoming a man, and the second is while being a man, and the third is after the resurrection. So the simplest way to explain this is when he was in heaven, he was Archangel Michael. He believed he was created. So their view on it is that God, Jehovah, will not touch humanity. Humanity is dirty, evil, whatever you want to call it. So he created the Logos, which is Jesus. To create everything and deal with it. So that's when he created Jesus in heaven. This is this is before becoming a man. He was Archangel Michael in heaven. So, at the fullness of time, when Jesus came to earth, he became man from Saint Mary. They don't believe in the incarnation. There is no incarnation. Just became man from Saint Mary. And he was crucified. Interestingly, they say he was not crucified on the cross. They say it's a stake. So, not sure why the distinction. It was a stake, not a cross. But after the resurrection, he resurrected again. But the way they look at it, he was resurrected with a disfigured body from the crucifixion. And if he went back with the body to heaven, he would be less than an angel in heaven, which is another heresy. But that's why he didn't rise in the flesh. He rose only in spirit. And he was not, remember, he was not eternal. He didn't have an eternal soul. But just because of his obedience and coming down and being crucified, he gained eternity for that. That was his reward. And when he ascended back to heaven, he was Archangel Michael again.
What?
I hope I did this right. It's very complicated. It's very, very strange. And I don't see how they came up with it, but that's what they believe in. And hopefully I explained it correctly. And interestingly, since they believe that to end the predictions of the second coming controversies, because they keep guessing it's going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's going to happen, it doesn't happen. So they said Jesus already came. His second coming is happening. It happened in 1914, and Jesus is running the Jehovah's Witness from Brooklyn. It's running from the headquarters. Somehow. Again, but the second coming already happened somehow. Now, another heresy that they had was that the Holy Spirit is merely just a force, a power, and not actually divine, not a hypostasis, not part of the Trinity. They technically just take the Trinity and shred it apart. Now, To explain, we're gonna refute everything that we talked about word for word, and there's just lots of Bible verses, so I just hope somebody will start reading.
For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
If you guys remember, they said that there is no mention in the Bible of the Trinity in all three persons, and this is the clearest, plain out, where it mentioned all three words of the Trinity. And the way they get around it is, they say, well, this verse was added to God's word, and which God rejects, and it was added by the devil. So they take it out. What they don't like, take out.
You can't find this verse in their version?
No, I think they keep it, but they say that it was added to the word of God by mistake, which kind of defeats the purpose of the scripture being divinely inspired as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, they did make many changes to their doctrine, and that's why they refused to use any other version than that their own version of the Bible. Somebody want to read the second one?
The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is included in the Lord's words about baptism. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I just want to point out, it's the name. Name, not names. So there are one. They all three are one. And actually, the final blessings will conclude our meetings, our prayers. Somebody want to read it? Sam?
The blessing in which we conclude our meetings, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Mm-hmm. So there are many, many, many other verses that we can talk about that will show the Trinity in each separate part. But we'll keep it just to those verses. I think they're pretty clearly stating what we're trying to get across. A little bit to break it down more in the simplest terms. The Son is the Logos. The Logos basically is God's intellect utterance, the spoken word, or uttering intellect. Okay? So naturally, God is not separate from his own intellect. You can't separate them. They're part of the same. And we see it in the verses that they have up here, which is say, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Can you separate the power of God and the wisdom of God? Yeah. It's all one unit. Now, in the second verse, it says, believing I am in the Father and the Father in me. So they are one. Now, since the Father and the Son are one, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody want to read the verse? Anybody?
The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Okay.
Isaiah 11:2.
Okay. Again, we cannot separate the Spirit of God from God. Since we already have that God is one with his intellect and he's one with his wisdom, one with his spirit, then all three are one. This is just a rehashing of it. Is basically the all three of them are one, but all of them are God. The Father, God the Father, is God. There is no, we all agree on that. God the Son is God. In addition to what we talked about already, we see in the word of the apostle that for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the incarnated. He's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said he has the fullness of Godhead. So he is divine. And the Holy Spirit is God, as evident from the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And you have not lied to men, but to God. And that's why they dropped that when they lied. The second and one of their big heresies is the denial of the resurrection of Jesus. This is what they believe, and again, it gets a little tangled, so bear with me. The crucified body was taken away from the tomb and was hidden by an angel. And as we mentioned, that he was our Lord was crucified on a stake, not a cross, and I don't know where they got that from them. The body which the disciples saw and handled was not the crucified body. It was merely an illusion that they saw, or a created body that God did to prove that he resurrected, per se. He did not ascend in the crucified body. Otherwise, that distorted body, he would be lower than an angel. And Christ, through death, offered his human nature for the life of the world and lost it forever. So he gave his human soul. And no human eye will see the Lord in his second coming. And that explained why he came in 1914 and nobody saw him. He came in an invisible way. Yes?
Doesn't everybody know that? At the second coming, the world ends.
I don't know what their belief on that, to be honest. But he's still preparing for it. The way it's the second coming is a continuous process. Mm-hmm. So it's still, they still have time where the end of time is building up.
I don't know, about what he said. Didn't you say in the beginning that you think that there are some people that will live for 1,000 years under the rule of the Lord?
I think
that's what they think it is.
I think that happened after the judgment. So the judgment will happen, all the bad people will be annihilated right away because they're gone. And then the good people, the 144,000, will go out to heaven. These are the elders, or the true Jehovah, that bore witness to Jehovah on earth. And they went to heaven, done. And then everybody else will live on this earth. And it's an interpretation, I think, of a verse of Isaiah that meant, and I don't have the exact wording, but it said that they will build houses, they will grow vine and drink from their fruits. So they think that it's an actual earthly kingdom, not a heavenly kingdom for the rest. And just to go the through the refutation, it's actually, some of the stuff was just silly, there is no way to explain it. It's not. I don't know where, nowhere in any scripture tradition, anywhere, it's mentioned that an angel came and took the body away. So I don't know where they even came up with the idea that the angel came and hit the body. The formation of an illusion of a body. Think about it. We're talking about God. Would God lie? Would God deceive people? It's kind of. It's counterproductive. It's against his nature. Mm-hmm. So he won't lie, he won't deceive. And he never lied or deceived when he was here. In order for the Lord to form a body, that just to convince the disciple that he's risen and is absurd. And the only thing we have is that our scripture, and it says, somebody want to read the verse? Danny?
Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.
Okay, so he wanted them to see that he's real. He ate with them, and he wanted them to see that he was risen in the glorified body when he showed his divinity, when he was going through the room that was closed, was going through the walls. So he wanted to show both that he risen in flesh and in spirit. Now, their idea of the ascension of the body was wounds will make it lose its glory, or be that the Lord will be considered less than an angel in any way. The wound of love are not distortion. It's actually of glory and honor, and there's many mentions in the liturgy of God. Same applies to the wounds of the martyrs. They suffer for the sake of Christ, but that doesn't make them any less than angels. And in the book of Revelation, St. John sees the Lord actually as a slave lamb. So we know someone read the verse? Anybody? Okay.
And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Revelation 5:6.
So, even in the revelation of St. John the Beloved, he saw the Lord as a slain lamb, and that didn't lessen its glory. It was still on his throne, it was still surrounded by the living creatures, the elders, they all sang glory and honor. The idea that the Lord will lose his human nature is contradicting, because obviously if he's divine, he has the power to do anything. He is divine, and he said in his own words, somebody wanted to read the second verse.
Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father.
Okay, so the Lord himself stated for us that he has the power to put out his life and take it again. He never said he's going to lose it in the process. As for their view that no one will see him in his second coming, it's pretty clear in the book of Revelation when in the second coming everybody will see him. And does somebody want to read the verse?
Really?
Yeah.
Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierce him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him, even so right now. Revelation 1:7.
And all the other places, it goes in detail, like the sun will be darkened, the sound of a trumpet.
Yes, it's mentioned in the Gospels, when it talks about the end of times, that it will be known, nobody will miss it, it's going to be as lightning, and it's going to be very clear that it is the end of time. It is the second coming.
So if they said 1914 was second coming, why did the next guy set another second coming?
That's the thing. They went back. So after many multiple guesses, see, I think the last one was in the 1975. And what happened is they said, okay, no more guessing. He already came. Mm-hmm. So they went back afterward and said he came in 1914 and it already happened. But he came back invisibly. And their doctrine is not something that's solid. It has changes. And they had over 200 changes since they started. So think about it as your, when you make up a lie per se, you have to continue lying just to keep up the first lie that you said. So that's part of it. But it's a continuous revelation. That's what it's called. They keep changing the doctrine just to, okay, we were right all along. It just that we misunderstand this, and here's a new doctrine. And when another piece of the puzzle falls, we'll fix it. Well, we just change the doctrine. Where our church, we have apostolic succession, which meaning we started by Saint Mark up till today. We can trace back all our heritage. The church has just been passed from generation to generation to generation. Doctrine is still intact from day one. Some good things about them. They have many good teachings. They teach to endeavor to live by moral standard of God's word. And we just go around and just everybody just read a verse. Sure.
You must love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:31.
Okay. Next.
Do not defraud someone.
Okay. Next.
But the stealer is still no more, but rather let him do hard work, doing with his hands what is good work, that he may have something to distribute, someone in need, Ephesians 4:3.
Okay. And the last one?
Sure. We wish to conduct ourselves honestly in all things. Hebrews 13.
Okay. Thank you. This is just a recap of what we talked about already. They believe again that Christ was a created being lesser than the Father, and that's Arianism. Christ died on a stake, not a cross, and he was Archangel Michael. He rose from the dead in spirit only, and the Holy Spirit is just a mere force. No official priesthood or clergy. And it's just symbolic observance of selective sacraments. Yes.
So why don't they celebrate their birthdays and stuff? Why?
Okay. Getting to it. I say they don't celebrate anything that's considered pagan celebration. They don't celebrate Mother's Day. They don't salute a flag. They don't serve an army. They don't vote. It's a lot of that's why I say the last slide to all the other stuff that they do.
I heard they can't donate blood.
You should be an expert on it's a symbolic and don't quote me on this. I think it's celebrated not on a I'm not sure if it's on a regular basis that's even done. I think it's maybe around the Passover time, and don't think of it as a liturgy or something like we do. It's more around they gather in the hall, and they have unleavened bread and wine. And only the elders or the elect will drink, will partake of the sacrament. And it's not really, it's not really a sacrament because you can't have a sacrament without a priest. So if they don't have priesthood, it kind of defeats the purpose of having a sacrament. But that's what they believe is a universe, but it's nothing that, like what we do. So the last slide is basically just other miscellaneous beliefs that we have. Only the you know, we'll just go through. Only the best 144 Jehovah's Witness go to heaven. The rest live in a millennial earth. Angels can marry humans. We
that's
didn't really.
Cool. That's awesome. How is that even possible? Yeah, I'm married to.
Yeah, it's if you wanna, they actually believe.
How's that work? Can
they
have kids?
Can you both Genesis 6:4?
They believe the kids were like
6:2:4. Somebody.
Who comes up with these things?
Can somebody read it? Genesis 6:2-4.
So when the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, they took wives for themselves of all they chose. Then the Lord God said, "My spirit shall not remain with these people forever, for they are flesh. For the day shall be 120 years. Now there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were mighty men of old, men of renown."
So it does say, does anybody know who's the sons of men and the sons of God are? Daughter of men? The exact wording, right? Sons of God and daughters of men, right? Can somebody, you guys have a guess? How did they misinterpret this?
Would be angels.
That's what they saw. That's the way they saw it.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, it's not. You have to think about it in a more practical way. Marco? Who are the sons of men? The sons of God.
Who are the sons of God? I don't remember.
Okay. You're close. It's the sons of God. Actually, you have to think about when the verse was actually read. It's sons of God were the saintly descendants of death. Okay. And the daughters of men were. Anybody? Come on. Who else was left on the earth?
The Gentiles.
But well, we are the Gentiles, but that's much later. You think very early. Cain, Abel, Ness. So Cain's descendants were the daughters of men. The sons of God were the saintly children of Seth. So that's why. But it's not the angels. That's why they interpreted and they said that the angels can marry humans. When Jesus went to heaven, he became who he had previously been, Archangel Michael. I have to get back to that. They teach that Christ. Almost done. They teach that Christ returned in 1914, and he's currently administering his still invisible kingdom from the Watchtower,
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, so if you might stop by.
Yeah.
They teach that to accept a blood transfusion would cause one to lose their salvation, but and it used to be vaccination, blood transfusion, so you have people who are actually dying from simple things, and they couldn't do a thing about it. Later on, they eased it up a little, and they allowed vaccination and blood transfusion, but it's the misinterpretation is from the book of Leviticus when it said do not eat something with its blood. So they consider that if you get a blood transfusion, even if it's through a needle or anything, it's considered you're still eating, and that could compromise your salvation. That's their view on it.
So why can't they donate blood?
Same thing. It's you're consuming
someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're causing people to sin.
Mm-hmm. So how did we allow it? Like, we're not allowed to have, like, for example, we can't have, like,
States of like blood, but if you fully cook it.
Yeah, but you're not eating. Like if you get blood, you know, transfusion.
You're not eating. For us to eat blood.
Yeah, you can't eat. You can eat like a rare steak or something like that because it has it's if it has blood or bank in it, that's technically its life.
Yeah,
and that's what it said.
How did we come to like only that interpretation of like what's wrong is that?
They viewed it as if you get a like a transfusion or anything,
yeah,
as you're eating, like physically eating the blood.
It's different
because again, and that's why they don't allow transplants. They don't allow many other things just because of that principle. They reject all holidays, regardless of type, kind. They don't vote, hold political office, serve in the military, salute the flag. Many governments actually outlawed them. They don't want to.
Why can't they vote?
It's
what's that wrong?
It's supporting a vegan. it's all veganism. That's the way they view it.
Straight out.
He's a Nazi, the president.
And I just want to end with a saying. Somebody want to read it?
Sure. Even on the cross, he did not hide himself. Instead, rather, he made all creation witness to it, the presence of his Savior, seeing it as an entrance.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Any questions?